Hello to everyone watching online. Summertime already. Graduation party's happening tonight and will be for the next week. We want to congratulate all of our graduates, whether it was to ninth grade, from eighth grade, kindergarten, maybe going on to high school or going on to college, or maybe you finished your extended education. Congratulations to all of you. And we celebrate you here at Grace. And I'm very thankful that we get to spend this weekend together. What a beautiful weekend it is. And I had a great time last weekend teaching with my wife. She had a lot of great truth to share last Mother's Day. If you were not here, I would encourage you to go back and take a listen to last week's message. We're going to get back to the book of James tonight. And I need you to do something. Strap on your seatbelt. Get your pens out. Because this is not just a life-changing message from James, but it is also something that you're going to need to put a little work into, because it is a struggle for all of us when it comes to temptation. And I want you to rethink temptation. It might sound strange, but I want you to do that, because I believe that's what James is teaching us in these verses, and we'll look at them in just a moment. You know, I'm going to ask you to pray a little prayer right now. You don't have to close your eyes. Nothing. Just simply say this: Lord, have your way in my life today and open my mind to what you're trying to say to me. You know, we just sang, Lord, have your way. It means nothing if we don't mean it. Lord, have your way in my life. Now, for all of you, if you're here as a guest or you're watching for the first time, may not know that we are going through the book of James this summer. And we're going to continue. There'll be a few breaks in between as Pastor Paul's going to bring a little mini-series, and we'll do some stuff to just bless your family. But it's amazing how much truth is really packed into five chapters in this book. Life-changing. That's why I entitled the series, Just Grow Up. Because when you get right down to it, that's really what the book's about. It's a manual for maturity. And what does growth come from? Growth comes from challenges, testings, temptations. Growth doesn't just happen when things are going easy. As a matter of fact, I would argue it doesn't happen when things are going easy in our life. Today we had the Student Ministries 5K race for mental health. Somebody's excited. I'm hurting is what I'm doing. And I went there with my son-in-law Jacob, and we got a late start, and we ran and walked the first lap. And then the second lap, I picked up my grandson in his stroller, and we ran that mile. And it was a little bit more weight I was pushing. He's bigger. He gets bigger every tenth of a mile, I noticed, today. But it was really great just seeing everyone out there. Thank you for being there for Mental Health Awareness Month and Day. And I love that our student ministry does this and cares, because it is a challenge. And really, when you get right down to it, a lot of temptation comes when we are emotionally and mentally tapped. And I think about it this way. When it comes to growing up, you know, when your children are young, you're exhausted, aren't you? You know, when my grandchildren come over, we love it. We have six grandchildren. We always have them all at the same time. And I'm really sad because it has been so busy. For 6 months, we haven't had our grandkids over, and they're playing all kinds of sports, and we're hurting. We really need the grandkids to come over. But when they come over, we always have them Friday into Saturday, and then I got to come preach, and I'm exhausted, in a good way. But you know what makes me think? I wish I had my kids, just for one day, when they were little, all four of them. But you know, they grow up very quickly, and what happens is they have adult problems, and that's painful for your heart. You know, when they're little, you think, it can't get any harder than this. And when they get older, you're like, is it ever going to get easier? That is really a picture of our spiritual growth and the challenges in our life. A lot of times, Christians have the same sort of outlook when they come to church. And I'm glad that people in church are looking to the ministry for help. So I don't want you to misunderstand this. But unfortunately, instead of applying God's word, instead of taking responsibility, we just say, oh, Pastor, can you fix my wife? Can you fix my husband? Listen, I can't fix my wife, and I can't fix her husband either, right? And Pastor, can you pay our bills? Pastor, can you, you know, fix our kids? And then we move into the real areas of immaturity. Oh, it's too hot. It's too cold. It's too loud. It's too soft. It's too this. It's too that. We get really, really self-centered. And that's why we become vulnerable to, guess what? Temptation. And you know what temptation is for most Christians? And the reason that most of us are prone to temptation is that we're losing our perspective, and then we fall into gossip. You know, it's interesting because when we started this journey with the Center of Hope and Forge Christian High School, everyone's like, yeah, this is great. This is awesome. We're behind it. And as time passes, you realize this isn't a flash in the pan commitment. This isn't, well, we got there and now we're done. This is a lifetime. We took on a responsibility together. You know, I think about just what happens when we forget our commitment. I'm not just talking financially, I'm talking prayerfully. And you know what happens is negativity sets in. And that's what happens when we become immature. And what James talks about is you've got to resist, not temptation, you've got to resist the enemy that brings temptation. I want you to look at James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 12 through 18 today. In the NLT, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Now, with that in mind, I want to show you 9 principles in this passage. And it goes far beyond just this passage, to resist temptation. And if you doubt for a moment, Christian, that you are God's prized possession, you need to read this passage more closely. And you need to read it over and over and over. But notice, he tells us this in the midst of a section on temptation. So I want to ask you a question. What are you going through right now? And please, if you are older than 60, do not think this is for the young people. As a matter of fact, I think temptation has a stronger pull many times when we think we've arrived. We haven't. You won't arrive till you get to heaven. So what are you going through right now? What is tempting you? What is it that's calling to you? Because giving into that temptation could devastate your marriage, could devastate your family, could devastate your career, could devastate your life. And as we look at this, we're going to find how to overcome. And really, we overcome by rethinking temptation. Let me give you the first key in this passage to rethinking temptation. Now that you've come to an honest place, I hope you have, you got to know the pattern of every temptation. There is a pattern to every temptation. Now, I love sports, man. I love that the Nuggets are playing tonight. That's probably where about 60 people are right now, getting ready for the game. I love that we have a chance to win our first world championship. That's only 48 years in the making. And I think it's great. I think it's going to happen. But in saying that, I really love baseball. I always record the Rockies and watch them about, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm riding my bike. And I love baseball for this reason. It's a thinking person's sport. You know, baseball doesn't push you to the edge of your athleticism, baseball players. It does not. There's a lot of sitting in the dugout, a lot of standing in the field, so don't tell me that, all right? Hockey, basketball, football, they push you to the extent. But what baseball does is it challenges your mind. Every pitcher has to know the tendencies of every batter. And every batter has to know the pitches of every pitcher. And that's just one segment of the game. And I love watching our Pierce Johnson, a faith graduate, family from Grace, watching him close games out. You know, he's got a nasty curveball slider. He's got a massive fastball. The other day, I watched him throw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. I mean, that's fast. You got to know what's coming at you. And the same is true when it comes to temptation. Look back at James 1:12 again. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. So let me just pause there. If God's not blessing your life, there's a reason, Christian. And it could be that you're not resisting and enduring temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from what? Circle this, our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Don't blame the devil, even though he is involved in this. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to what? Death. Now look, that's devastating. A couple weeks ago, I talked to you about the crown of life, and that as Christians, our salvation comes when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. We are born again, but we are going to stand before Jesus at the Bema seat, the rewarding stand, and he is going to reward us or not based on how we've lived our Christian life, based on, listen here, everybody look here, how we've resisted and overcome the testings and the attitudes that are accompanying temptation. Notice I didn't say resist temptation. So he moves us right from being rewarded straight to overcoming temptation. Why? Because he knows our greatest struggle is temptation. So let's look at the unrelenting pattern of temptation. This will always be the case. Let me just tell you something. Satan has no new tricks. He's been doing the same thing for thousands of years. We'll go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It is not an allegory. It is not a fable. It's a true story where Satan tempted the woman. Look at this in Genesis 3. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. Now, there's another way to say that. He was the most beautiful. He was the most cunning. He wasn't a slithering, gross snake that some people, that's what people call him. I kind of like him. He stood upright. He was beautiful. And the Lord said this. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Well, that's a lie. Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. But God said you must not eat it or even touch it. I got choked up because she lied too. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. By the way, he says that to you. You're not going to die. This won't ruin your marriage. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat. And look at this. And you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Let me just tell you something. Everybody look here. She was already like God. She was already created in the image of God. She already knew the difference between good and evil. That's why she made a bad choice. He lied to her and he misled her. And God says, don't eat this of this fruit or you'll be like him. He appealed to her desires, to her pride. And my friend, that is the pattern that Satan uses in our everyday life. Write these down. First, he gives us a desire. He puts the desire in front of us. Any desire out of control is sin. You better write this down, because if you don't, you are destined to hit temptation's wall tomorrow. First, it's a desire. It's a desire. And listen, even desiring something good and putting too much into it can be wrong. Well, I have the desire to work all the time. That's not good. Well, I have the desire to play all the time. That's not good. Well, I have the desire to have sex, so I'm going to have sex with whoever. That's not good. Second, then it leads to doubt. Anything that makes me doubt God's word is sin. Anything. If I doubt God's word, it's sin. Third, deception. Desire, doubt, then deception. Anytime I'm convinced I know more about what makes me happy than God does, number one, I'm an idiot. Number two, I'm destined for temptation's call. And it leads me to number four, disobedience. And guess what happens at disobedience? I'm hooked and defeated. I'm hooked and defeated. You know, I remember back in the early years of our marriage 38 years ago, and we were struggling poor college students. That went on for many, many years. That went on for a decade or more. And I remember during that time, people would come to me and say, hey, I've got a network marketing program for you. Now, there's nothing wrong with those. Don't get offended. You can be Mr. Amway, Herbalife, prepaid legal. I did it all. And you know why I failed at it? Number one, I just couldn't sell to my friends and family. That was the number one issue. But number two, all I could see were dollar signs. As I got into it, I had the wrong motivation. I had the right desire to supply income for my family. I had the wrong motivation. And the same is true in our lives when we are tempted by anything. It leads us down the path to disaster. The second way we rethink temptation is I must understand what makes me vulnerable to temptation. Do you understand what makes you vulnerable to temptation? You're like, no, I know what makes you vulnerable, Pastor. No, you need to know what makes you vulnerable to temptation. Look at James 1:16. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. That word misled is about vulnerability. And I like the way this verse just kind of stands alone in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Do not give the devil a foothold. Don't even crack the door for the devil. Do you know what the Bible says gives the devil a foothold more than anything else? Here's the most common thing that gives the devil a foothold, and I bet some of you have already said the wrong thing. Any negative emotion. Any negative emotion. You're not chasing that stuff out, it's going to wreck your life. It's not just ungodly anger. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines what? The course of your life. Some of you are like, man, I'm so far down the line. Temptation isn't my problem. I'm deep in an addiction. Well, you're not going to get out if you don't plan a different course. Why does he say this? Because my heart, your heart, is the center of my emotions. When the Bible talks about heart, it's not talking about the blood-pumping organ. That's why we don't say to children, let Jesus into your heart. They don't get that. You believe with the center of your emotions. It's very important to identify the thought you're having and what comes out of those thoughts. Satan plays with your emotions every day of your life. He is the master manipulator of what? Our moods. He gets us in certain moods. And then certain emotions get going, and those emotions come from our thoughts. And then once he has our emotional involvement, we're cooked. We're done. The behavior will happen once the emotions have kicked in. And we are far more vulnerable to temptation when we have certain emotions involved than we are when we don't, especially those negative emotions. At that point, we're setting ourselves up for Satan's attack. So understand what makes me vulnerable. Third, to rethink temptation, I must learn my personal pattern of temptation. You know, some of you are wondering why your marriage is in the pits, why your spiritual life is in the pits. The truth is, you're not applying the scriptures. You're not applying the Word of God. It's not enough just to hear it. You got to know it. You got to apply it. We're going to spend a lot of time unpacking this, and I want to give you some very practical ways to evaluate where you're at, because this is so important to your life. I care about your life. I'm up here and in this ministry every day because I care about your life, because I care about your family, because I care about your career, because I care about your education. And my hope would be that's enough for you to say, I'm going to take this and listen and apply it. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wise man looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't face facts. Are you a fool or are you wise? You know what we do with temptation? We rationalize temptation. We tell ourselves rational lies. Well, I can do this. It'll never get me. You remember the week I talked about Oreo cookies? Do you remember I brought my Oreo cookie cup out that my daughter bought me? It had a sleeve holder on the side, little cookie grabber. I ate an entire package of Oreo cookies that weekend. I hadn't had an Oreo cookie in 3 years. I was weak. They looked so good. They were calling to me from my desk. I'm like, I'm doing this illustration, God. And then I grabbed the milk and then I ate until I was bloated. You know what? That's what temptation does. And if you don't understand it, it will get you. Questions to ask yourself. First is this: when am I most tempted? The time of day or week? When is it that you're most tempted? At night? In the morning? The middle of the day? Now ask this question: where am I most tempted? At work? In the kitchen? At the gym? Here's another question. If you really care, who is with me when I'm most tempted? When I'm alone or with certain people? See, some of you will refuse to ask that question because you're not about to make a change in the very relationships that are destroying your life. Here's another one. What temporary benefit do I get when I give in? Just ask yourself, what temporary benefit do I get when I give in? It's not hard if you're thinking about gambling. You know, sports gambling is through the roof right now. It's just insane. I see all these ex-athletes that have millions of dollars getting people into sports gambling. I've seen it destroy lives. In pornography. Drugs, alcohol. How do I feel right before I'm tempted? Am I bored, lonely, angry? Now, we're going to get to a spiritual gifts test. And if you haven't wrote a thing down now, I'm going to ask you to do this. Because this is life-saving stuff. And it took me a while to create this. And before we get the spiritual test, let me just give you this challenge. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible tells us about these heroes of the faith. And one of those extraordinary heroes, one of my favorite people in the Bible, Moses. And look at this in Hebrews 11, 25. It has a lot to do with James chapter 1 in temptation. Look, Moses preferred faith's certainty above the momentary enjoyment of sin's pleasure. What made Moses great? Well, he didn't always enjoy faith's certainty. He went through murder and he ran away, but he learned from his mistakes. What about you? What about me? Do we prefer the certainty of following God over the momentary enjoyment of sin's pleasures? Think about the challenges right before you, right before you give in to temptation. Now, I just want to get high. I just want to forget. I just want to feel better. What's the problem? You're not going to feel better. It's temporary. You're doing nothing to make yourself better. You're just numbing and covering up the pain. It's gone nowhere. So often the challenges arise when we're bored and lonely or angry and frustrated. Many people are looking for fulfillment, and that's where temptation comes calling. The fourth way we rethink temptation, according to the Word of God, is plan to avoid the most tempting situations. Plan to avoid those situations. It might sound strange to plan to avoid temptation, but you can do it. That's the way we are called to fight the challenges in this world. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm going to say this. If you are a poor planner, let this ministry help. There are extraordinary planners in this church, people that will help you in every facet of this staff. Look, plan carefully what you do, and whatever you do will turn out right. Did you catch that? You've heard the phrase, if I fail to plan, I plan to fail. Well, it comes from Scripture. Avoid evil and walk straight ahead. don't go one step off the right path. Now, ironically, this comes from the lips and the mind of a man who was so wise and yet such a fool with the temptation of women. 700 wives. If he visited a tent every night, it took him years to get back to the same wife. And if he didn't have enough wives, he had 300 mistresses. Solomon was wise and taught kings from around the world, but he was so stupid when it came to his temptation. People say, I just don't know why I can't quit smoking. I just don't know why I can't quit pornography. I just don't know why I can't quit sleeping around. I just don't know why I can't quit eating. Because you're not planning success. You're not putting habits in place. You're not getting people around you who love Jesus and want to help you. We're not making plans to avoid temptation. Now, I want us to take a moment and answer a spiritual health test, and I'm going to tell you how this is going to help you, because it's only for you. You're not handing it in. Don't worry, okay? But you have to answer the question immediately with what pops in your mind. Do not rationalize, and do not go, well, I usually, no, this is about where you're at right now. This is what I call an EKG, an emotional kingdom guide, okay? Are you emotionally tapped or are you healthy? So let's look at these questions and answer them. Just circle them because you're going to add these up at the end to see where you're at. Number one, am I physically exhausted or energetic and in shape? Am I physically exhausted or energetic and in shape? Number two, just answer quick, circle it. Am I discouraged and pessimistic or am I encouraged and optimistic? Number three, am I bored and disconnected or am I challenged and contented? Number four, am I spiritually dry and empty or am I refreshed and spiritually growing? Number five, am I lonely and distant or do I feel loved and close to others? Number six, am I insecure and unsure, or am I feeling confident and secure? By the way, I've taken this test, okay? Am I feeling deeply wounded and hurt, or do I feel understood and valued? Number eight, am I holding on to unforgiveness, or have I forgiven everybody? And number nine, am I feeling sad or grieving a loss? Or am I feeling happy? And the last question, am I feeling frustrated or am I feeling fulfilled or productive? Now, once you've answered, add the numbers up. Put a total. And let me just tell you what this means. If your total is 40 to 50, you're in a great emotional state. As a matter of fact, you should be teaching. You should be serving. You should be involved in leadership. If your total is 25 to 39, you are very vulnerable to temptation right now. If your total is 10 to 24, you are in extreme danger or you're already in temptation's grip. And finally, if your total is less than 10, I want you to fill out a prayer request form right in front of you, and a member of our care team will follow up with you. Our prayer request cards in the seat back in front of you and at the connection center as you leave. Or you can go online if you're nervous to do that. Just go to gracechurchco.com /prayer request. Now I realize it is hard to face the answers to these questions. Listen, I am not where I need to be. This has been a stressful 7 months. So you know your need for support, for love, for the ministry to wrap its arms around you. I want to encourage you. If you've not gone to our Christian education and membership classes, you need to get in them. The best way and the only way to get care in this ministry is not to talk to me in the foyer. That's not going to do it. As a matter of fact, that's not how you become known in this ministry. I forget my children's names. You get involved in the classes so we can love you and connect you to this ministry. Number five, how do we rethink temptation? Cry out to God and quote scripture to myself. Sounds like something simple. It's one of the most difficult things to do. Just cry out to God and quote Scripture. You can't quote Scripture if you don't memorize it. This may sound like some type of simplistic approach to overcoming temptation, but it is biblical. You find it in every book of the Bible from every hero of the faith. Remember when Peter was drowning? He got out of the boat, he walked on the water, and then he looked around at the waves and he went under. He prayed what I call a microwave prayer. Help, Lord. That was it. And God did help. Jesus reached down and grabbed him. Look at Psalm 50, verse 15. God says, call to me when trouble comes, and I will save you, and you will praise me. I think one of the most comforting parts of this challenge is that Jesus understands everything we're facing. In Hebrews chapter 4, he's called our high priest. And it says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. God is not going to laugh at you. He's not going to mock you. He's going to give you grace. He's going to give you mercy. You'll find grace with God. I want you to write down this because it's critical to understand. Temptation is not a sin. Giving into it is. Religion will tell you temptation, oh, you're tempted, you sinner. So are you, you legalist. We're all tempted. Temptation's not the sin. Giving into it is. The closer I get to God, the more Satan will throw at me. When we have baptism service, you guys hear me say this a lot. Guys, now that you're getting baptized, I want you to understand something. You have a bigger target on your back. Not just from Satan, from the world around you. Satan's one being. He's not omnipresent. There's a demonic force, but he's already wrecked the world. You have a target on your back. People are going to learn you're a Christian. They're going to go after you. They're going to try and get you to do something that isn't very Christian. And what happens is if we blow off a message like this, and we're seriously avoiding temptation, eventually it's going to get us. You're going to fall into it. The sixth way to rethink temptation is to refocus my attention on something else. You got to refocus on something else. Best thing we can do is refocus our attention on alternative thoughts and focuses. And that's how you conquer evil. Look at Romans 12, 21. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with what? Good. You got to have an alternative. I remember, as a junior high and high school student, actually, most of my life, I loved hard rock music. I mean, back in the 70s, there were Black Sabbath and Jethro Tull and AC/DC, and, every rock band. I loved the music. I still love the music. But as I got closer to the Lord, I'm like, man, I need to change the lyrics, the message. So I started listening to the Jesus music that was coming along and rock bands like Petra and DeGarmo and Key and groups like that. And it was the same music, but it was a different message. And it helped me focus my attention on Christ. It helped me get my mind on the things of God. It kept me from the temptations of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now, I still love the music. I still listen to a lot of that music. Temptation isn't the same. But you have to change the playback in your mind. When something is tempting you, change the channel. Remember that. Change the channel. Not just the channel on your TV. Change the channel of whatever's coming your way. The Bible never says this. It's going to blow some of your minds. The Bible never says resist temptation. Nowhere in the Bible. If there's a translation that says it, it's an inaccurate translation. It says resist the devil. Doesn't say resist temptation. You know why? Because what I resist persists. Because if you're thinking about the temptation, you're thinking about the wrong thing. It really boils down to repentance. And we've covered this, but it's important to understand the biblical definition. The Bible says temptation starts in my mind. It starts in my mind. So how do I fight this battle? Repentance. And that means to change the channel. Literally, it means to change your mind, metanoia. And the way I keep this in mind comes back to the principle of replacement. Change the channel. If something's tempting you, put an alternative there. principle of replacement. Let me show you in the Bible and what it says about the best way to live the principle of replacement. And this verse is going over every locker in the upstairs of Forge and our Center of Hope. So you'll see it. Look at Philippians 4:8. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And look at this. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. James 1:15, then our evil desires conceive and give birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now I want to just show you real quick the stages of temptation. Easy to remember if you remember just three A's. Attention, it gets our attention. Arousal, it arouses our senses. And then we act. Action. And the Bible says the way to combat this is in 2 Corinthians 10:5. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We are at war, and we need to take captive every thought that's pulling us away. I'm just going to be flat out honest with you, all right? I mentioned this a moment ago. I'm going to say it to you. This has been a challenge for me over the last 7 months, because for the first time in my entire life as a pastor, we've had to focus so much on the budget of this ministry and on the finances of this ministry. Because when I told you we risked everything, I wasn't kidding. And we were at a place where even 1 week of us not meeting our commitments, me and you together, we're in jeopardy. And we've seen that over the last few weeks. This isn't a short-term project. This is a lifetime commitment. The Center of Hope and the Christian High School. And is it worth it? You better believe it. But in order to get there, we have to do it together. And it has been a challenge for me because I have been going to a very human place for a solution. And God has been saying, you got to stop. This is me. I'll take care of it. And I don't know how, but He will. But He's only going to do it through His people. What is it that's got you in its grip? What is tempting you to find a human solution? Let me give you the seventh way to resist temptation and rethink it. Resist the attitude. Rethink temptation. Join a small group for support to fight the temptation. Join a small group. At Grace, we believe the Bible is very clear that we need to grow smaller as we grow larger. In multiple services, with lots of people in this ministry, you need to get into a small group. And summertime, I know a lot of times groups take breaks, but a lot of groups don't. My encouragement would be don't. We just launched an activity or activity groups, and these are groups that, like, they're playing board games at a house or at a you know, sub shop, or they're getting together and doing frisbee in the park. They're just doing activities to get out and connect people. So you can connect in hobbies and then join a small group that way. And I want you to reach out to Beth Doig, our small group director. You can just get a hold of her at Grace Church Co. Small groups, Beth Doig, and just reach out. Get involved in an activity group. It will keep you focused on the right thing. Look at Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up the habit, notice that word, of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer. I think it's a shame when we take a break from small groups and ministry in the summer, because it's the most tempting time to get into bad habits. We must understand that we're stronger together. We need each other, and that is the plan of God for overcoming temptation. We'll get to this in James 5, but just take a look at it. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. You know, when we are able to admit our faults to each other and pray for one another, that's when real connection happens, and that's when we're able to overcome and rethink temptation. I want to show you three of the ministries in this church that are critical to helping you age appropriately overcome and rethink temptation. The first is obviously celebrate recovery. If you're not involved in celebrate recovery and you have a hurt, habit, or hang up, my question would be why? It is extraordinary. Wednesday nights, 5:30 to 9 p.m., Pastor Vicky DC, the team, you just show up and they will love you and guide you. It's an extraordinary night. The second ministry is student ministry. If you're a teenager, if you're somewhere between 6th and 12th grade, come to youth group. Student ministries, Tuesday nights. And by the way, summer camp is a great time to connect. And you know what, parents? Sometimes you just got to be a parent and say to your teenager, you're going. We're going to send you to camp. And it's a really easy camp here at Grace. Just sign them up. Get them involved. And finally, our support classes and groups on Thursday night. There are so many support classes to help with whatever you're facing. You know, there's never the right time to join. The right time is now. Don't let busyness or anything else prevent you from taking this step. These are the ministry opportunities that will transform your life. I believe this. More confession of temptation means less sin confession. You know, if I'm confessing that I'm tempted, then at least I'm not falling into sin. I told you there would be a lot today, and I hope you're understanding how critical this is. If we did this more, we would have less sin confession. Now, number 8, how do we rethink temptation? Ask a friend to share in my struggle. Ask a friend to walk with you in your struggle. We all need accountability partners. These partners are people that are the same gender. If you're a guy and you're struggling with sexual issues, you don't ask a woman at work. You don't go from one temptation to another. You find somebody also who's a little bit further down the road with temptation than you are. If you got an addiction and somebody's also addicted, that's not a good guide. Look at Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad because there is no one to help him. You know, I'm very thankful in this ministry. You know, we have had over 36 different elders over the years that have served in this ministry. Over the past few years, 4 elders, Pastor Jason and I, I'm so thankful for his relationship. I'm also thankful for our leadership board, 17 men and women who are extraordinary, who are able to ask the questions and keep accountability over everything. I'm thankful for our Forge Education Advisory Board, made up of incredible educators. You know what? We are surrounded with counsel. Are you? We are surrounded with accountability. Are you? I found it interesting when a person said, well, what kind of accountability do you have? My question was, a lot. What kind of accountability do you have? Remember this quote, temptation is an opportunity to do the right thing. I love Paul when he's writing to the Galatian believers and he warns them to get off their high horses and humble themselves so they can care for one another. Look at Galatians 6. Love empowers us to fulfill the law of the anointed one as we carry each other's troubles. If you think you are somebody too important to stoop down to help another when you really are not, you are living in deception. And finally, if I'm going to rethink temptation, I must remember God wants me to have victory over temptation. He wants you to have victory. God is there for you to give you victory. He is not putting temptation in front of you. He is not bringing devastation to you. God does not tempt us. And though he allows things into our lives, look at 1 Corinthians 10:13 and cling to this. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter. Circle those two words. Screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that you will bring, that will bring you out of it victoriously. You can count on that fact. You can count on that fact. Let me give you four realities of this verse real quick. Four realities. Everyone has the same type of temptations. You are not alone. Everybody has the same type of temptations. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what the Bible calls them. You know what else? Everyone, though having the same trials, has the same God, and He is faithful. God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tested above what you're able. And you know what else? God only allows what He has approved. And God will not allow temptation to crush you. You know, I always use the illustration that of that verse is like a power lifter. When you're on the bench and you want to put up as much as possible, you have spotters. They're not there to lift the weight for you. They're there to make sure the weight doesn't crush you. My wife and I were watching the strongman competition the other day. It just happened to be on TV. And these guys were lifting 440 pounds above their head. And I'm thinking, if that log comes down, it's going to kill them. There's no one there to protect them. One guy did it four times. That's just massive strength. You know what? There's a lot of sin bearing down on us, and we cannot resist it. You know, we read in this verse above that when we're enticed by our desires, instead of expelling the vile thoughts that come into our mind, we encourage and nurture them, and we enjoy them for a season. No place is this more evident than in our sexual desires, in the movies and music and the pornography that we allow to cloud our vision. In the Bible, it says eventually it gives birth to full-grown sin and it kills us. Remember, nobody woke up one day and said, I think I'll kill someone. I think I'll rape someone. No one. Society would have you believe there are good people and evil people. I want you to know that the Bible says we are all evil apart from Jesus. And we are all capable of the worst atrocities apart from Jesus. It's temptation that keeps us from living the purposes of God, the purposes for which we were created. So this last verse, these last verses remind me of God's goodness. Look at this in James 1. Every good action and every perfect gift is from God. These good gifts come down from the Creator of the sun, moon, and stars. God does not change like their shifting shadows. God decided to give us life through the word of truth. Underline that. He wanted us to be the most important of all things, of all the things He made. James describes God as light because He is. And He's not like the sun, the moon, the stars that shift and the shadows shift. He stays consistent. And you know what He's become? Our Savior. He came to the world. You know when it says the Word? The Bible says that Jesus is the Word. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus came into the world as the full embodiment of the Word. You ever been fascinated at how much Scripture Jesus could quote? That's because He is Scripture. He wrote it all. And He said this, I created you, but man sinned, woman sinned, and we've all been infected by sin, and we will die in sin. We're dead already. We're dead people walking. But Jesus came into the world, and He lived a perfect life, never sinned. Though tempted, never gave in. And He willingly went to the cross because God's holiness demanded a perfect sacrifice, and only Jesus could be that sacrifice. And so He died, and He shed His blood, and He washed all of our sins away, our past, present, and future sins. And 3 days later, He rose again, and He said this, believe in me. Admit you're a sinner and trust in me, and I will give to you everlasting life. Friend, if you have never put your trust in Jesus, you can't resist temptation. You will go down in flames, literally. But Jesus says, I have given you life. All you must do is receive it. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. If you're here or you're watching and you've never put your trust in Jesus, I'm not talking about an intellectual assent or thinking that you're religious, that won't save you. But I mean truly come to the end of yourself. Then right where you are, put your trust in him. You can say something like this: God, I admit it, I'm a sinner. And I admit that there's nothing I can do to save myself. But right now, I believe that Jesus Christ came into this world and died for all my sins. I believe he rose again. And I trust in him alone to save me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Friend, you are born again. You are God's child now and forever. You have the ability to overcome temptation. And I want to pray for you. I want to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come forward in just a moment. I'm going to have you slip up your hand and put it right back down. It just tells me that tonight you've been born again. You got the good news and you trust in Jesus. So if you're saying, I believe and I receive the free gift, would you just slip your hand up? Just slip it up. God bless you. Slip it up and put it right back down. Praise God. For those who trust in Jesus, welcome to the family of God. You know, we have a Bible for you. My book, Grace Happens. You can text the word believe to 720-895-9000, or you can stop by the guest center after we sing these songs and we'll give it to you. Just say it like a new believer bag and they'll give it to you. Welcome to the family of God. Father, thank you for your salvation that was a free gift purchased through the blood of your son. And Lord, though these messages are hard to hear and hard to speak, they're needed. God, lives and marriages and families and communities are destroyed by giving in to temptation. And I pray for those who have, that tonight they make a new commitment to follow these principles to rethink temptation. Lord, if they are unhealthy, I pray they'd reach out so that we can help. In Jesus' name, amen.